This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay, I want to ask you to please share a little bit of your story. You can start in any space. Kom ons sit ons hande by mekaar vir survivor Rocco Bosman. Ja, jy moet jou hemp aanhou. Ja, seker.
Okay, ek is anyway koers, ek sê jy is reg. Good evening, church. It's baie lekker om hier te wees. Thank you that you are giving me smiles and making my job easier. Yeah, I'm somewhat just going to spend 10 chilled minutes here just speaking a little bit about some journeys that I've been on, and at least comfort yourself in this, that I will never speak of something that I'm not winning at. I don't have that guts in any case, and I think it's unbiblical. So whatever I share, it comes from a place of victory. And whatever I don't share, then it's just not for tonight, or I'm not having victory at that. So my background as a Christian is just that I grew up kind of all over the show in terms of just Demokara household. Like, Dad died when I was 7, my mother and him, they were not married, and my mother had a previous husband. My sister was taken away quite early from my grandmother and them. And they got me from school every day, which is now my grandmother. And then my mother would come at after 5 after work and get me home. And then that went on for like 15 years. But my mother really struggled with my dad's death a lot, so she drank a lot. And I was kind of just alone. No one taught me spiritually, like, what's the way. Christianity was around me, but we never went to church. Well, maybe on like a Christmas day. But so I did not grow up as a Christian, except that when I was maybe 5, 6, 7, my grandmother used to read the children Bible to me. But I mean, yeah, so I didn't really have a reference. And yeah, fast forward a few years of ups and downs and tears and good times, more bad than good. Then I just came to a place of, and I was 17 at the time, of coming to that place where I asked, well, whoever God is, just for him to reveal himself to me. I'm open, I'm willing, I have no preconceived ideas. If he's there, then show me. And I think the pivotal thing that I also asked him that night, and this is before I knew how to relate to God, was that I'm also willing, I said to him, I'm willing to leave anything that is hindering me to actually get to know him. And I think if I didn't do that, and if I didn't mean that, that prayer would have just died and nothing would have happened. But I think God always asks, like, if you want something, what are you willing also to give in terms of what sacrifice or what part of yourself or what, you know, how the whole surrenderance thing works. If you're not willing to surrender, then he's not going to bypass your free will and force anything on you. And for the next few years after that, I've seen many times how the impossible has become possible, plainly speaking, many, many, many times, impossible stuff. Then I believe it in a sense, and then it becomes possible. But the whole issue of faith was always difficult for me to understand because my emotions was many times in the way. So many times it was easy to have faith when you feel good and when you feel strong and whatever. But it would fail me when I didn't feel strong, you know. Emotionally led was my problem. And so there's three things I'm just going to speak to, like, I don't know, for the next 7 minutes, just around the whole topic of, but there's three things that will stand out. So if you forget all else, then these three things remain. And this is not faith, hope, and love, as the Bible says. This is something else. So the one thing is, and please say it to the guy or girl next to you, that we choose to believe. It's not we feel not to believe. We choose to believe. So please just do that for to start. Thank you. So it is literally a choice. Okay, and I've kind of forgot the other two, but they'll come around now. I know those two. So whenever, like, the whole, like, my life has been full of crazy stuff, like bad injuries and then Summer Olympics with a non-qualifying throw, and like many stuff that just wasn't possible, many, many stuff. The whole survivor thing, this was an impossible thing that became possible. I didn't even make it. I was a reserve. And then someone fell out at the end because I prayed into that. I did want to go, but then day one there, I'm like, okay, I made a mistake, Lord, please take me back home because I missed. But it's almost like everything I pray for kind of happens because I kind of do. I pray it and believe it before I think of how it sounds and disbelieve it, if that makes sense. So, but still, we choose to believe. And whatever, like when feelings fail us and we can't feel victorious in what we are like achieving to believe in terms of just anything regarding your walk with Jesus, then what I do, and something practically that really works, and maybe before I go there, the thing that you should know, I have a lifestyle of overcoming sin, and this is only because of faith. This is not because I'm strong, because I know how weak I really am. I'm really, really, if you take how percentage-wise how strong and perfect we are, let's say for the sake of the argument, we would average about, you would say, okay, I'm like 75% or 60, whatever your perception is, and then the other 40% is where you really, really know you fall short. So in all honesty, me and myself, I feel like I'm 40% perfect and 60% a problem to myself. But still, that's where faith comes in, because then I always know that I'm super dependent. Even when I'm speaking to you guys now, I don't have pressure because I've allowed God to do His work. I don't have a preconceived or something that I want to hold on to or something that I would like you to think of me. I just want you guys to be able to live with more faith. That's my only goal here, and that's what makes it easy for me to actually to share with you guys. So the first thing regarding you choose to believe, just please always remember that. Don't ever wait for the feeling of faith to come over you. So for me, in terms of sin, and this is how I know that faith, I do believe I have a gift of faith, as we all have a gift, or maybe more than one or two gifts. And I do 100% believe we should literally practice, and this was the number two thing. You have to practice the gift that God has given you. Otherwise, it's just like if God has given you good genes, I'm not speaking like Levi or stuff, but if He's given you good physical genes and you never train, the other guy that had no physical good attributes and he trained for 5 years, he would surpass you by far. So it's not about the gift, it's about how well you practice it. So, you know, we always say, yes, you know, I do believe I'm called for greater things and I'm called for more, and I believe I'm called for something big, but I don't know what it is yet. The thing is, we all are called for something big, massive. The problem is only very few of us actually take the ownership of that calling and actually choose to believe that God will fulfill it and actually apply your faith to actually go all the way. When life gets tough or when we're not feeling it, then we just give up many times. And that's why sometimes at 50, 60 years old, people say that, you know, I just wish I was young again, and I wish I didn't just survive. I wish I'd lived for more. I've given God more opportunity in my life. So we are young, even if you're 70, we are young still. Don't worry about that. We have now to make right decisions. So the thing is, my English tongue's not working. How I overcome sin, and I mean this as a lifestyle, because obviously I also make mistakes. It's not like I've been zero sin free for 5 years. I don't mean it like that. I mean my lifestyle is a victorious lifestyle, only because whenever I'm about to fail at something, let's say there's a temptation, let's say... I'll be quite frank with you. I've always had an eye for a beautiful woman. So whenever I'm in the gym, which is like, I don't know, like one day a week. Okay, joking. 4 days a week. Then there's always a temptation. So what you do with it is obviously important part. So when temptation comes, what I do that helps me to overcome, and this is with few years ago, like with drinking, smoking, or with any addiction, pornography, those kind of things. Just before I actually am going to like do it, then I give God an opportunity to come through, and then I say, okay, God, you know I'm very weak here, and I'm probably going to give in right now, but I'm just giving you this space now. And this can be true for your identity as well, things that you need to believe that the enemy is succeeding in letting you believe a lie. Then before that thought comes, or let's say it did come, the thing that you do directly after that makes a massive impact. So for me, what helps me to be victorious, I say stuff that I don't feel, but I say biblical stuff. Like I choose to believe that when the temptation comes and my head thinks, okay, I'm not strong, what I do is I say, Lord, thank you that I'm not going to give in and get practical. Like in the whole girl situation, all I do, and it's really, it works, is I say, thank you, God, that that girl is my sister and that we are all like the body of Christ. Thank you that you've given me an amazing wife and that I never have to compromise on that. And I just speak truth. Like I say it like out loud. People, yeah, you know, people, if they see you, they might think you're weird or whatever, but irrespective. So the thing is, you have to voice it. I mean, if it's in your head, fine, you can try that as well. And this is no magic stuff. This is just biblical, like whatever we believe, God will do. Because He says, if you don't doubt, you can believe in even a mountain can get shifted. So anything that you really believe will happen. So whenever anything is too much for you, choose to believe that it isn't, meaning that you don't have to feel that your faith is big enough. You don't. You can still feel very weak. The thing is, what faith is then you going against that feelings and you saying, thank you, Lord, that I'm not going to give in. You thank you that this and this and this, like for instance, I'm a daughter of you. You've already like anointed me for good works. You already established my identity and that I have a big calling. And thank you that I'm going to actually take this calling to the end because I'm not going to give up halfway. So you say stuff, like you have to say it first, like even with many things. First you have to, like forgiveness works the same. You don't feel it, you choose it first. You first choose to believe someone. I will never believe someone if they say that they didn't choose this, it just kind of happened. Okay, I don't mean it if someone dies. Obviously, that you can't help. But I mean the way you react to something bad that happens. Then it's first you have that decision. You can be like slave mentality, like, oh, the world's bad to me and the enemy is winning me. And you can choose to let that now win you over. Or you can at that stage choose to at least believe practical and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm going to overcome this. Doesn't matter how I feel right now. Thank you that this impossible thing in my life will become possible. For instance, when I was still very much injured, and this is just a worldly kind of thing, but this helped me with God in any case, was when I was still throwing about 72 or 5 meters and with many, many injuries, in my head I thought I might be done, but I still wrote a very big 85 meters on the roof of my bed just above, and I woke up to that every morning. And I said, thank you that I'll go to the Olympics, even though at already 2012, then I was actually, like, literally I had 2 operation options in my shoulder, which one is never throwing again, one is halfway. It might come right, but you'll have to have off 8 months later, 50% chance, stuff like that. And then I chose option 3, which is just choose to believe that God will work above that. I'm not taking one of those options. And after that, there was other problems which I did get operations for. Some of them successful, some of them not. Doesn't really matter the thing. The point I'm trying to make is you always have to choose to believe the thing that God speaks truth over you, like the biblical value that we have. And if he says he'll never tempt you above what you can bear, he doesn't lie when he says that. Meaning if there's any temptation, there's never, ever, ever a reason to fall into that. There isn't. And if you do, and if you are like falling in stuff, I'm not condemning. I mean, that's fine. I was many, many times I fell into the same thing over and over, even knowing the Lord very well. The problem is I didn't apply my faith well, or I didn't apply it biblically. And I think applying faith biblically, making God, like, let's say, enabling him to make the impossible possible in your life over and over and over again, is you have to take a pause moment before falling into the habit or the wrong thought or the sin or whatever it is. You have to take a pause moment. This is how I originally overcame it. Is then I give that moment and I speak life into that. It doesn't matter how I feel. And at the beginning, it was 1 out of 10 times that I didn't end up sinning, and that motivated me to keep on pushing, and then it became 2 out of 10 times, 3. Later, it became 10 out of 10 times, because I realized that if you really believe, if you choose to say and to believe what God is going to do for you, and if you speak the word, and if you really like hold it dear to you, and obviously super important if you practice it, like you have to practice it. For me, what keeps my faith alive is every day I practice faith. Like when I drive around, before I just go home, and this is also like how I met my wife. Before just taking the R300 from the Belleville Velodrome one day to Curls River, I just said to God, okay, I'm going home. Is there anywhere else you'd like me to go? And I just had a thought just said, just go straight, find a few friends, see where you end up. Like, I mean, why not kind of thing. It wasn't a super spiritual thought. It's just like a small thought. Holy Spirit speaks in a still small voice. Later, friends didn't answer. I ended up by Johannes, and we were supposed to go to Panarottis, and some weird thought came, but let's go visit over across the street, which we never did for 5 years, so it wasn't a thing that we ever did. And then I ended up meeting Renee, and we married, and 3.5 years later, very, very happily married. So this is God. Like, he can do the small, in the smallest, still small voice of the Holy Spirit, many, many big opportunities can come. But you have to, like, you have to give God the scope. So obviously with faith, and I'm almost done, if you want to train your faith, be surrounded with the right people. A dynamic that myself and my wife has worked out that works for me in terms of our dynamic is when I struggle with something, if it's a type of communication or habits, you know, leaving clothes or whatever, like any things that make it not, you know, lacquer sometimes, she always tried to help me right with, let's say, the natural way, which there's nothing wrong with. But I gave her I asked her if she rather would take me on faith-wise and just say, well, apply your faith that you say you have and see if this can help you year and year and year. So I asked her to challenge me in my faith because I always want to be challenged. I always want to be accountable. If I say I have a gift of faith or whatever, that I'm showing people that I'm training it from the smallest thing, which has nothing to do with nothing, to the biggest thing, which is a big kingdom, amazing thing. Doesn't matter. It's a principle that we need to keep on training. And this is kind of just, obviously something God blesses it. Like, for instance, if you're strong in a certain area, whether it's faith or teaching or whatever, the anointing is on you to give it. Obviously, that being said, you need to be winning, hashtag winning in life, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be conquering in life, in using your gift, and it's successful. Then you know that God's anointing is there and you can use it, and then you never have to be afraid. So, I mean, if you remember anything, just it really, really is not a feeling. If it's great if it is, but I mean, let's be honest, feelings go up and down. Life hands you lemons, and then sometimes we make lemonade, sometimes we just, I don't know, throw it through the window. We lose it sometimes. But the fact is, if you're going to always be consistent in speaking your faith out loud, which you may not even have at that stage, it's irrelevant. You need to speak for your faith to hear that thing that you have spoken, because it's biblical. Hopefully you're speaking biblical things then. And then your spirit takes hold of it, and you just believe it. Believing is a weird thing. Faith and believing, you never will actually be able to put it on a definition. I don't think there's actually... Obviously, the biblical one is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. But for us personally, it sometimes is a bit different, just due to like everyday life. It looks a little bit different practically in your life than in someone else's. But if you're going to speak those like words of victory, irrespective of how you feel, I promise you, you're going to start having victories where you never had before. And then this is going to make you so excited, like you're going to keep on to that. And obviously, if something works, if a training, if a training program works for a gym guy, he should stick with it. He shouldn't change it. So this is the thing that has been working all the way. And there's obviously many more things one can say about faith. But there is this last one thing that I actually forgot, and I thought this was the ultimate one, but now it's just gone. Do you have any questions just before I go? Because maybe it might spark the actual last thing that I would like to say.
Rocco, you've had a few disappointments in your Olympic career, in your throwing. How do you deal with disappointments? How do you deal with disappointments?
Yeah, so disappointments, I've had many, like, there's a billion, but 2015 was probably the worst one, and it's something that keeps me humble, is I had a very good first half of 2015, javelin just threw far, and Diamond Leagues, I was there at a few, and making some money in Europe, and this whole dream of mine for 5 years, the thing that was impossible just became possible, it felt like overnight in that year, but obviously it's 4 years coming. And then some niggles started to happen, and then just before signing a really big Adidas sponsorship for a few years, which would have really made me my life nogal lekker, then my distances fell from 85 meters to 68, and I had no reply. I couldn't explain it. And obviously Adidas was like, this is like high school distances, we're going to pull out. And my agent at the time was super angry, and he saw me, you know, it was really a bad time. And for 6 months, the last latter part of 2015, I just suffered and cried a lot and worstled met die Here. I had rechtige worstled, like Jacob wrestled with God. I really wrestled with God. And what I can tell you a few years later is, if it wasn't for that second half, and this has been true for every bad time, it would have not made me humble. And I do believe I'm humble because of those bad stuff. Like God has changed those things so that whenever the temptation is there, let's say the survivor thing, and then you come back and then there's a hype, whenever my head almost just goes in that direction, then I remember you never want to have that last part of 2015 over. So just stick to it. Okay, and I do remember the last thing that I wanted to say. It's like, for me, I hear God speaking. Oh, two things, cool. So the one thing... The one thing is, yeah, my neurons just firing a little bit here and there in my brain. But so I hear God speaking to me. Sin is a big thing in my life in terms of I'm passionate to share with people how to overcome it, because I absolutely know the freedom that it gives you when you are in victory. I also know how it sucks when you're not in victory and all your vrymoedigheid is by the right eye. But it's so nice when you actually, your lifestyle is that of overcoming sin and nothing can get you down. Even a bad day, you're still in your spirits like, well, I'm in obedience with God. I'm in right standing with Christ. And that's something which we should say every day. That's what I say before some temptations too. It's like, thank you, God, that I'm in right standing with you now and that I'm not going to jeopardize it. And then he comes through for me. And the one thing I hear him saying many times to me is, Rocco, you have one job. Just don't fall into sin and I can do the rest. This is flippant, so true. I can't even explain to you how passionate I am about this. He's literally, and This is just so true. If you, I really say if you can get it right, but if you apply these things and you let God through your own faith stir you enough to overcome sin as a whole, like as a lifestyle, then nothing will actually be able to. Like God's going to say to you, too, I'm going to do everything I need to do. You have only this one job. Don't fall into sin. Because if you don't, your hunger for Him will stay there. It won't damage your hunger for God. Your heart will stay pure because sin won't be able to defile it or make it unpure. You know what I mean? So this is kind of the thing. And the last thing, there was most now this last thing which I remembered. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is the punchline in any case. That's why God didn't want me to say it until now. This is one thing I'm 100% sure God literally, I don't want to say audibly, but I can. It's like almost audibly, irrespective. I really heard Him saying to me the last, since 4 weeks ago, the whole time, that sin is a faith issue. It really, really is. It's not always a heart issue or sometimes a habit issue, whatever. Yes, those things contribute, but the main issue of sin is faith. Either a lack of it, or you are applying God-given faith. This is the punchline, is sin really is a faith issue. Rather spend your efforts on growing your faith and making things, it's between you and God. Rather spend your efforts there in increasing your faith. God will increase it, just be willing to do what He's saying. But speak those things out loud. And then you're going to be overcoming, and then when you are overcoming, it just, you're growing, because nothing is an anchor or a weight that's holding you back. On the contrary, you must know how it feels when you just enlightened, the yoke is taken off, the burden is lighter, and you're just flying. And it really is like that, like lifestyle-wise. Obviously, we have bad days, and we do make mistakes, but as a lifestyle, this is what God has for us if we choose to believe. Bent.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.